This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
When people came together of different faiths in the Spirit of God, and the first thing they did was prayed together.
Men and women of all faiths are standing here today. The Black Robe Regiment is back again today.
Another group of people were gathered here, and they too were listening to God. God's chosen people, the Native American and the Pilgrim.
A montage from last Saturday's Restoring Honor Rally led by TV and radio host Glenn Beck. It was a bit confusing. I don't know about the people who attended it, but in the end, the more I watched of the Restoring Honor Rally, the more confused I became. It was a lot of mentions of God. It was talking about restoring America. Had it only been, I think, about restoring America to kind of its former glory, its former honor, I don't know that anyone would be raising any kind of objections. But the confusion prevails, especially when, with those mentions of God, there were explicit descriptions, at the very least, of Mormon theology, not Christian theology, and most of the people gathered there, I assume, were probably of the Christian ilk. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show talking with Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor Rally, get his take on that. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week for bites from this week's Issues Etc. audio for you to vote on in about 40 minutes here on Issues Etc. We'll play them for you, and then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you leave your vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Russell Moore is Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of the book Adopted for Life and the forthcoming book Tempted and Tried, Temptation and the Triumph of Christ. He's recently blogged with the post titled God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. Dr. Moore, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
It was billed as a rally, a nonpartisan rally, to help kick off the restoration of honor in America. What did the Restoring Honor Rally end up being, in your opinion?
Well, it wound up being, I think, an idolatrous exercise in civil religion. And it's one thing if a group of citizens gather together and call for certain political principles or whatever the agenda is, that's perfectly fine, and we have religious liberty that we cherish in this country. People ought to be able to do that, and we ought to have a free and open public square to do that. But instead, what happened here was you had a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a church that is completely opposed to historic Christianity, to biblical Christianity, to the gospel, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and promote himself as the leader of a religious revival and talk about faith and talk about the gospel and talk about spirituality. And you had an American evangelicalism that is so insulated, apparently, from the gospel of Jesus Christ that many of them could do nothing else but to stand up and applaud it. And I think that's tragic.
You have written, too often and for too long, American Christianity has been a political agenda in search of a gospel useful enough to accommodate it. What do you mean?
Well, I mean that so often what is happening is that American Christianity is just kind of a veneer that comes over whatever things that we already value. And so in many churches, you could provoke more passion over the question of what someone thinks about Sarah Palin or Glenn Beck than what someone thinks about the gospel defined or about the Trinity or about those issues that are so central to what it means to be in Christ. And that's what's so tragic is that American Christianity has wanted to have influence so badly, and this happens on the left and on the right, that it doesn't matter who is giving you the influence. You eventually just do whatever it takes to curry favor with those people, and that's what's tragic, and that's one of the reasons why you see evangelicals on the left and on the right lining up with very, very predictable stands of partisan American politics and kind of finding a way to get religion to support those things. That's not good.
Which do you think it is, Dr. Moore, that the evangelicals who cheered while Glenn Beck at some points actually articulated Mormon teaching, its error,
yeah.
like the mm-hmm. Native Americans being the chosen people and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you think it's that they can't tell the difference between Christian theology and Mormon theology, or do you think it's that the agenda that they're hoping to work toward politically and socially is so important they're willing to compromise that?
I think it's both. I think that you have a little bit of both. I think that you have an American Christianity that, let's face it, in many sectors has turned out to be Mormonism, kind of a self-help, little definition of who Jesus is, an Americanized political theology. All of that is what Mormonism is, along with values of hard work and fair play and free market and all of those things. I think that's a great part of it. And that comes in when you see evangelical leaders who are coming in and completely, in defending this, repudiating the gospel of Jesus Christ by saying, for instance, well, Glenn Beck is our brother in Christ. We've heard his testimony. We believe that he's a Christian because he... He articulated all of these things, and you know the tree by its fruit, completely just absolutely cannibalizing what Jesus said in his teaching about the tree and the fruit. That signals to me that you've got two things, I think, going on. One of two things, and I think it's both. One, an evangelicalism that is so has spent so little time thinking about the gospel, except as a kind of really vacuous, ask Jesus into your heart, walk down the aisle, raise your hand, kind of an exercise, combined with an idolatrous civil religion in which we've talked about for decades, let's stand up for God, let's stand up for God, let's get this country back to God, without understanding how biblically one comes to God, and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's on the one side, and then I also think you have some evangelical leaders who are craving and hungry for the kind of power that comes with a very, very popular figure, as Glenn Beck is right now, who is able to sell your books and promote your products and do all of those things that he's able to do. Glenn Beck mentions your product, it's immediately number one. Well, we in evangelicalism have become accustomed to that kind of world by putting up with so-called Christian leaders who were either heretics or buffoons for years and years and years. But as long as they've got a platform, well, we'll appear right there with them on their gold thrones on television and completely ignore the fact that what they're teaching is something completely opposite from the gospel, or that they're trivializing the gospel with all kinds of antics. We've become accustomed to that. So here comes Glenn Beck. He's the one we've been waiting for all of these years.
You mentioned there kind of the materialism, you call it mammonism, Dr. Moore, mm-hmm. that is so prevalent in American evangelicalism. And you have written that there is a liberation theology of the left, and there's also a liberation theology of the right. Of course, the criticism among many of those who were supporting Glenn Beck and his Restoring Honor rally was that President Barack Obama is a liberation theologian. What do you mean by a liberation theology on the right?
Well, I think liberation theology is any kind of theology that seeks to bypass the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the empty tomb in order to get to some temporal value. And so I think on the left, you've got a liberation theology that says what we're looking for is freeing the oppressed, and we're looking for all of these other, which may be good and right in and of themselves, but when you get to them apart from the gospel, you're getting something other than the gospel. Same thing happens on the right, where you can take values that can be good in and of themselves and can be commendable, but you seek to get to them in some other way other than through the gospel. That's essentially exactly what is happening in the third temptation of the Lord Jesus. Satan says to him, "You can have all of the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me." Jesus refuses to do this, even though Jesus ruling over all of the kingdoms of the world is obviously a good thing.
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, I'll let our guest, Dr. Russell Moore, continue his comparison there. I think it's an intriguing one, the temptation of Jesus being offered all the kingdoms of the world if he will simply bypass the cross. We'll let him finish that comparison. We're talking about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally, what happened there. Dr. Russell Moore is our guest, Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of the book Adopted for Life and the forthcoming book Tempted and Tried, Temptation and the Triumph of Christ. He's written a recent blog post titled God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. After about another 20 minutes with him, we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, September the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
The best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.
A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and yet we're willing to tolerate false doctrine. We'll quote-unquote Lutheranize the 40 Days of Purpose simply for the sake of drawing people in, whatever that means.
On this land, another group of people were gathered here, and they, too, were listening to God. God's chosen people, the Native Americans.
Think very critically about, where am I going to go to church when I go off to college? What difference does it make if I gain the whole world yet lose my soul?
How easily Christians confuse a general conservatism with Orthodox Christianity. The two are not the same thing at all.
We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week here in about 20 minutes. On this Friday afternoon, September the 3rd, we're coming to you live talking with Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally. Before the break, Dr. Moore, you were making a comparison between what you're calling the liberation theology on the right and the temptation of Jesus when Satan offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth. What, again, was the point of that comparison?
Satan is willing to give him the rule over the entire universe, which means no pornography, no abortion, no genocide, no poverty. But as long as there's no cross, he's willing to give it to him. And that's what's so dangerous, is we fall for that same mess of pottage every few years in world Christianity from the very beginning. There's always that winnowing process of people who are saying, we will get whatever kind of liberation or power we're looking for, whether that is freedom from some type of structural oppression, or whether that is economic freedom or traditional family values or whatever it is. If it bypasses the gospel, it's something other than what we've been called to do.
We cannot peer into Glenn Beck's heart, but if he is a thoroughgoing Mormon, he does seem to be knowledgeable about what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints officially teaches. Mm-hmm. When he utters the word God, as he did dozens upon dozens of times at the rally of Restoring Honor, what would he mean?
Well, he would mean the God of Mormonism, who is a different God from the God that Christianity reveals. This is not a triune God. This is a God who is a physical being of the same species, as Mormons like to put it, as man, although an exalted man, who is literally, in a spiritual sense, the father of all human beings. And so it's basically what Mormonism is very, very similar to Canaanite fertility theology in many ways. And so it's really not all that different from many of the pagan religions that have existed in the history of the world, except that it arose in the context of 19th century revivalism. So it is using a very Americanized, revivalistic type of vocabulary.
Am I wrong?
So you'll never find a Latter-day Saint who says, I don't believe in Jesus. That's not the question. I mean, Every false teaching that has come up within Christianity over the past 2,000 years has said we believe in Jesus. The question is, which Jesus?
Okay. I sensed something. I thought I heard something in the rally Restoring Honor, and maybe I'm wrong, but there seemed to be kind of a theory of America's place in the world cast in Mormon terms very softly.
Yeah.
By Glenn Beck, and that is America kind of has this most favored nation status with God because, mm-hmm. although it was implicit in some of what he said, the people native to this land, the Native Americans, were hearing from God prior to the Western colonization. And then when the Westerners did colonize, they came with the Christian heritage. These two things combined make America what it is. Am I stretching to hear that theory in what Beck is talking about?
I don't think you are at all. I think you're right that it's put in very subtle terms because you think of what it is that Beck is doing. He's trying to do two things. He's trying to make Mormonism palatable to American Christianity, which is why he's constantly finding these evangelicals who are willing to curry enough favor with him to call him a Christian. And to quote them consistently. And he also is trying to build this coalition. So you can only go so far in explicitness in talking about it. But yeah, I definitely think that's present there.
What do you think of his repeated calls, there were several of them, for people of all faiths, and this would have included from the people on the dais, Christians, Muslims, Jews, and who knows what else was represented up there, praying together to the same God.
I think that's biblically impossible. I think it's one thing to say that Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and Mormons should all be working together for the common good. I agree with that. And I do think that there ought to be goodwill and cooperation between people of all different faith beliefs in America. But that's a very different thing than saying we're approaching the same God. If you are a generic civil religion God worshiper, a small g, God, then that's possible. But if you believe that, as Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, then that's impossible to do. And so it's another religion at that point.
Is American evangelicalism, in your estimation, theologically equipped to tell the difference between historic Christianity and American civil religion, whose God must of necessity be a generic God?
I think that the under 40s in American Christianity are able to make that distinction. And one of the things that's been really encouraging to me over the last week is that as I'm hearing from all kinds of people in American evangelicalism and outside of it, there is a sharp, sharp distinction generationally as to how people are seeing these things. And I think that the under 40s, because they've been having to embrace Christianity in a more secularizing, paganizing environment, are much less susceptible to the kind of God and country, civil religion, generic God idolatry that some in the older generations have embraced. Of course, there are exceptions, you know, in both cases, but I think that generationally there is a great difference. So I am completely discouraged when I look at the last generation of evangelicalism, and I am very, very encouraged when I look at the next generation of evangelicalism, people who are willing to stand with the gospel and take the consequences, whatever they are.
Again, on civil religion, the call of the Restoring Honor rally was we need to band together in the name of God, he even said, in the spirit of God, to save America, essentially. Is civil religion, for any nation, is civil religion sufficient to truly accomplish what it is Glenn Beck seems to think it can do?
No. Civil religion is powerless, and civil religion immunizes people to authentic, genuine Christianity. And so you become then accustomed to this idea of approaching God in some other way than through shed blood and resurrection life. And so at that sense, you are worshiping another God. The God of American civil religion is not the triune God of Jesus Christ. He is Zeus at best or Baal at worst. And so it's simply, even if it were useful to do what Glenn Beck is suggesting, it would not then be right biblically. What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul?
How does American evangelicalism divest itself of its addiction to celebrity?
Well, I think, frankly, that it may be that God does that apart from us. And so I think it could be that what God is doing right now is winnowing and shaking American Christianity. I think we're so accustomed to being so big and powerful and the kind of the driving force of Christianity in the world. It seems to me that maybe God is toppling that down, and he's raising up genuine Christianity in places that no one ever expected, in Sudan and in China and in Nigeria and in other places. And so maybe what God is doing is just collapsing the whole thing of American parachurch Christianity and raising up something new.
When we come back, what needs to happen if the parachurch foundation of American Christianity is on its way out, theologically and perhaps even organizationally. What needs to happen in Christian churches? We're talking about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor Rally. Dr. Russell Moore is our guest on this Friday afternoon, September the 3rd. He's Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of the book Adopted for Life and the forthcoming book Tempted and Tried, Temptation and the Triumph of Christ, and he's written a recent blog post titled God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for September is called God Granted, Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. Talk about a time when theologians were the leaders of American Christianity. That's an era that was occupied largely by this giant of theology, C.F.W. Walther. His sermons make great instruction for people on listening to modern preaching, but they also make great devotional material. You'll find them in the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, God Granted. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called God Granted. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Russell Moore.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Simple words from a wise man.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Speaking at a recent dinner for the Vitae Foundation in St. Louis, legendary football coach Lou Holtz said, "I don't understand how you can terminate a baby late in its pregnancy, yet if you kill the egg of an eagle, you go to jail. I don't understand why you can't give a girl in school an aspirin without the parents' consent, but you can take them to an abortion clinic without permission." What Holtz clearly understands is that we as a society seem to care about relatively insignificant things, but do not truly value something as precious as life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
See what the Lord is putting in front of you now. Can we bring out the bagpipes?
More sounds from Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor Rally. We're talking about it with Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Before the break, Dr. Moore, you were talking about how the parachurch foundation of Pop American Christianity may be on the wane. What needs to happen next?
What we need to do is to be spending time in our churches, recognizing that there are all kinds of influences that are subtle that we don't see, and to come in and to constantly be teaching and preaching the gospel and how every aspect of life relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That has to be paramount in what we're doing. And so I think that you're going to have churches that are devoted to teaching how to recognize idolatry. And I think that's happening. I think that that genuinely is happening, and it's going to have to happen because the old model of Christianity as a respectable thing, you go to church because you want to be seen as a good person, that's over in America. That's still kind of hanging on in the Bible Belt and in places in the Midwest, but it won't be even there in the next 10 to 15 years. And we can lament that and say there are all kinds of losses that come along with that, but it's an opportunity for God to do something new with us.
Can you explain to me the impulse that was prevalent at the Restoring Honor rally, this we need to pray, we need to pray? Why can't we just work with non-Christians, Mormons, whoever, dealing with abortion, gay marriage, other social ills, and not pray together?
Well, I think that there are two things going on. I think that American evangelicalism has, for so long, because we've been disconnected from churches. Evangelicalism has been built in the last generation around these big movements and these big rallies, and so we're looking for leadership. And as time has gone on, that leadership has become more and more political. And so now, what we want is a president of the United States who not only is just and who not only is wise and who not only will bear the sword, Romans 13, in the right way, but who also will be a pastor to us. And so, you know, every time that there's a political figure that evangelicals like, what we want to do is to say, oh, he knows the Lord Jesus. And, you know, you'll have all these urban legend email forwards about how these candidates have led people to faith in Christ. And, you know, they answer the D. James Kennedy evangelism explosion question right and all those kinds of things. Evangelicals have grown to live that way, and the politicians have grown to recognize that. And so they curry, they play to that. And so I think that's the impulse. We don't have an ability to say we can work with people created in the image of God who are not, we don't recognize as Christians. And that's one of the problems, I think, that happens with, I've heard from a lot of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormon people, over the last week, who are really offended that I would say, I don't believe that you are Christian. And really, there's no offense to that. I'm not offended that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doesn't believe that I'm a member of the church. That's okay with me because I think that what they're teaching is not true. So it doesn't bother me. We've got to be able to understand a public square in which there's religious liberty and there's the common good, while also believing that there are things more important than that.
Finally then, Dr. Moore, what's the lesson that we can learn from Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally?
I think the lesson we can learn is that evangelical Christianity is abundantly gullible, and that we need to spend some time, not in rallies, but in our churches, restoring the gospel.
Dr. Russell Moore is Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of the book Adopted for Life and the forthcoming book Tempted and Tried, Temptation and the Triumph of Christ. He's written a recent blog post titled God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Moore, thank you again.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thanks so much.